birds singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly into the line of a dark black
Right, it is 12:01 p.m. This is Molly, and you're listening to Chatting with Molly on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And you just listened to the Beatles, Blackbird off the White Album, one of my fave songs. And here we are, people. Welcome to Chatting with Molly. We have a very special guest on today. Guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
I sure would. This is Brunch from the hit YouTube series called Ask Brunch. And I'm here with Chatting with Molly. Whoop, whoop.
It's true. Brunch is a dear, dear friend from Frisbee and from life. A lot of things, yeah. I guess, just from life.
Yeah.
He's called Brunch because when he was five, he couldn't tell the difference between lunch and breakfast.
Yes, that is the
and
correct
so
reason.
So he just called both meals brunch.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Molly, I'm very excited to be here.
We're excited to have you.
It's been a long time in the making with this collab, but I'm glad it's finally here.
So do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about what Ask Brunch is and,
Sure. Well, Ask Brunch is always something that, it's something that I envisioned since I was a young kid. I never really got to get to it, but it was a long time in the making. And I got to college, and, I realized that it was the perfect time to really turn my life around and get Ask Brunch started. And no better reason than with a better place than with the Frisbee program.
It's true.
So I figured, much like Chatting with Molly's here, answering questions from you, the viewers, figured Ask Brunch could do the same thing, just on a, on a video platform.
Yeah, so, different platform.
But it was a sensation. My views are in the double figures on YouTube.
There you go.
I have 5 videos to this point.
Sick.
Potentially more. I'm filming Molly right now, so this might make it onto a. If we're going to collab, we might as well do it the whole way. But it was really a brainchild of my, 5-year-old self. Right when the nickname came around, I was like, I'm going to make a show one day called Ask Brunch.
Nice.
And here I am.
There you go. Well, in classic Chatting with Molly style, I will start off by asking you what you had for breakfast this morning.
Great question. So, I really made a transformation in my diet since this new year, and I started eating a lot healthier. So I used to eat, eggs and eggs for breakfast almost every day.
Eggs and eggs, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, fried eggs. But then I went to my yearly physical with my doctor, and he's like, your health levels don't seem great. Maybe you should try to eat some more low cholesterol foods.
Okay.
And so I went online, the mighty Google, and I said, what has low cholesterol in it? And it turns out that oatmeal is a great cholesterol lowerer.
There you go.
So I've been eating oatmeal pretty consistently, except for I got very sick of it within the past week. So I went grocery shopping yesterday.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't take you, but I figured your groceries
are full.
Yeah, Molly and I, we go grocery shopping together.
Yeah, we do.
But I came back and I bought some yogurt with some Nutella, and I put some pineapple chunks in it and some cereal. It's one of the meals I used to make back in the days of Carmen DeWick.
Mm.
But I figured I'd bring it back, and so today was the first time.
Wait, did you just say pineapple and Nutella?
Yes, pineapple.
That's
and Nutella.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It's delicious. I actually learned it from a dear friend of mine, Tom Jasinowski.
Okay,
from the Frisbee program.
Know Tom.
And I looked at it my freshman year, my first time there, and first time seeing it, and I thought, what is this? But it looked delicious, so then I did it. And
nice.
Still rolling with that breakfast.
And before I forget, just a little shout out to DJ D, the show right before us. Puts on a great show every week. And chatting with Molly, we're so glad to have the time slot after him. So shout out to him. Okay, back to this pineapple and Nutella business. I'm sorry, I can't get behind that. I am like pretty daring and accepting on breakfast options, and I like pineapple and I like Nutella, but I just can't see it.
Right. No, so that's the common criticism that I receive with this breakfast. I guess you got to try it to believe it, but some people think the acidity of the yogurt doesn't work.
Okay.
Usually people don't like the pineapple in the yogurt, but then I just say, go buy a Chobani with pineapple in it, right? It's a real thing.
Right.
And Nutella, I see your problem, your worries. Thanks for finishing my sentences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually I edit a lot before I produce. And so
we're live on air.
It's not as great. I have tried to do Ask Brunch Live, but didn't figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
I think it works. I think it's delicious. I like the acidity with the chocolate. It works for me. Yeah,
I mean, I guess strawberries are pretty acidic, and like strawberries and chocolate are a classic combo. So I guess I see it. But I agree. I've been eating a lot of oatmeal lately, and I just get so sick of
it
fast.
And what do you put in your oatmeal?
Yeah, so depends if I'm like spending a lot of effort on this. So the classic is just like wake up, put a little bit of peanut butter and brown sugar in, and if I have a banana, I'll cut that up. But I've tried overnight oats once, which is much better, very filling. We had a guest, Kate Lamberti, on, and she was telling us about her rituals, and it's like you put a little chia seed in, which makes it kind of like gelatinous, and then put some milk and then just let it sit, and they just kind of like puff up, and then I'll put like fruit in or something.
I see.
Yeah. But I've been on the yogurt train lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like high protein.
Right. It's a little tastier
calcium.
Than oatmeal.
Definitely.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, so how's it going, Brunch? Do you want to give us, like, our viewers a little recap of who you are?
Sure.
Where you come from, what you're studying?
Yeah. Well, you know, I come from a tiny little town north of Boston named Lynnfield, Massachusetts. It's really a beautiful place in my eyes, but just a boring old residential neighborhood in most other people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But I hail from that town, and, you know, as many people know, I used to play football. Mm-hmm. I was in the newspapers all the time. I was. That's where the legend of Brunch in the media comes about. It's back in Lynnfield High School in my football days. But I put that behind me, got to college, decided that I wanted to play Ultimate Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a great community of people here doing that. I study, unlike most of the Ultimate Frisbee players who study computer science, I study electrical engineering, which is probably the closest you can be to computer science without being computer science.
Yeah, just about.
But I guess that sort of follows in my nature. You know, I don't really like conforming to the masses. Right, so I will do something slightly different so that I can differentiate myself, I think. I don't know.
Okay, I feel like if you liked computer science, you would just do that.
That's true, too. So I took Comp 40, which is one of the more difficult computer science courses at Tufts.
You took that last semester?
I did take it last semester.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that.
And I would not say that it was impossible. The thing about it was that it took up a lot of time for me.
Yeah.
And I found that as the semester went on, I was just not really interested in the topics we were covering.
Right.
And so I sort of went, by doing that hard class, I, you know, passed it and then thought, I don't really want to do computer science.
Yeah.
So it was good to sort of cut that part of my life off, because I know a lot of people who take a few computer science classes like yourself then start really wishing they had taken more computer science. So I think I'm at a point in my life where I can say, that's enough computer science.
It's
no
enough.
More.
It's enough. Yeah. Why'd you take 40? Do you want the minor?
Originally I was pursuing the minor. Tufts, the computer science minor.
Yes.
It's five courses. One of them, or potentially Comp 40 is one of them. I had room on my schedule. Everyone I talked to, especially electrical engineers who had taken that course specifically, said it was a worthwhile course to take.
Okay.
And so I figured, why not go for it?
Yeah.
So I think if I could redo it, maybe I wouldn't take it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It has helped in the sense that I've become a much better coder. And so, for example, right now in my junior design course where we're building a robot, you know, I'm doing a lot of coding and it's pretty straightforward, whereas people who hadn't taken Comp 40
are kind of
a little bit more
up
difficult.
By it. Yeah.
But overall, it's a great class, I think. It's just maybe it wasn't the right one for me.
Yeah. So electrical engineers and mechanical engineers often work on very similar projects.
Electromechanical.
And they're, there you go. But similar to Mackie's, it's so broad on what electrical engineers cover.
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Well, see, I'm a little bit different because going on that theme, I actually don't want to work specifically in engineering.
Okay.
I'm also pursuing an engineering management minor here, and so I think I would be most successful working on the line between business and engineering.
Yeah.
And there's that line is pretty long. There's a lot of different things you can do there.
Right.
There's a lot of different ways to get there. You know, I'm 21 years old, so I have not lived a full life. I cannot tell you what the best way of going about this career is, but I think sort of what I want to do out of college is go into sales engineering, which is on the line, of course, of business and engineering. And, you know, I enjoy working with people, and I think sales engineering is a good mix of being able to work with people, but also being able to use my technical background with electrical engineering.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things you can do with electrical engineering.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because I also probably see myself more on a management side and kind of project development.
Mm-hmm.
But man, sales is probably the last thing I want to do. And
why
it just
is that?
Shows the breadth of different positions. Why is that?
What about sales? What in your mind when you hear sales?
Yeah,
when you picture.
I just think sales is limiting to factors that are frustrating. So a lot of times there's factors at play that dictate whether a sale will happen, who you have to sell to, what product you're trying to sell. And I think I would envision myself being frustrated being in those constraints. And I think if I'm excited about a product and it's not the highest grossing, it's not the direction the company wants to go in and majorly sell that, I would be frustrated if I believed that was the best product and I had to try to sell. And I feel it's kind of, you're being dictated by the customer, which is an important thing that's kind of crucial in sales. But I think meshing engineering with my interests would be more about big picture implementation. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So it seems like there's a lot of uncontrollables in sales that you wouldn't That's a fair point.
And I don't know if I'm very good at sucking up to people.
Sure.
I actually think I'm quite bad at it.
Sure.
But yeah, I think knowing you, Brunch, and knowing your skill set, I think you could be really happy in a role like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you hear that buzzing?
Yeah, I do.
I moved your mic.
I did move my mic, but I wonder. It just got louder. Well, okay, that's while we're messing around with the mics, I will give a quick shout out to first, number one listener, my father. Shout out to my dad. He is in Australia right now. He attended an opera in the Sydney Opera House last night. Okay, we're just going to...
Oh, there we go. Oh.
Okay. Don't touch anything. Yeah, he attended an opera in the Sydney Opera House last night and said it was a spiritual experience.
Wow.
Yeah. And then second shout out is to my good friend JC Weathers, who is a high school friend of mine who's at work right now and has been listening every single week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go JC. Yeah.
Shout out to JC. True friend. So as we are both part of our favorite cult on campus, the Frisbee program,
yes.
How's your guys' season going?
Yeah. You know, it's going great. We're living the dream, as I often would say. Yeah, we've had one tournament so far in Florida. It was beautiful outside. It was unlike your tournaments, but
yes.
it was nice and sunny, 80 degrees, almost too hot, almost. It was beautiful. The field's probably the best condition I've ever played on. It was like, the grass was so nice, it felt like we were on artificial turf.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our coaches didn't realize it wasn't artificial turf until the second game of the day.
Wow.
So,
that's
it was
unreal.
Really nice. We had a lot of peaks and valleys, but I think one of the things that stood out the most to me throughout the tournament was how bought in everyone on the team was. So when things didn't go our
way, that's awesome.
We were able to turn it around. And there's a lot of...
That's huge.
Yeah.
That is a lot of mental toughness.
And it's definitely something we've struggled with in the past years. But I think we lost a game to a pretty, you know, they beat us, so we can't call them bad. But they weren't great. And we lost on a lot of our own mistakes and sort of playing... not playing to win, but sort of just playing not to lose, which is a thing that I often say. But
we're
kind of just trying to like play it out and let the game happen, but we weren't really trying to win, which
was
annoying. And then they beat us, and then, you know, after that we could have responded very negatively, but instead we ended up coming out and winning and going to the Ninals. Finished in 10th place. We lost on Universe Point in that final game, which is always tough, but most of our games are close.
I think that's really important for...
3 points, which was to the team that finished in second at the tournament. So
there you go.
Important for ranking. We don't know where the ranks are now. I think we're right around there. So
yeah.
We have two more tournaments next weekend. So
where do you guys go next weekend?
We're going to Atlanta. Classic City invite. CCI.
That'll be kind of warm, hopefully.
Hopefully. Looking at the weather now, it looks like it's going to be 60s.
Okay.
But also potential for rain.
Okay.
So.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and then we have spring break. We'll have a lot of practice.
Yeah.
And then the weekend after spring break, we're going back to Myrtle Beach.
Sick.
To play at Easterns, which is a tournament we went to my freshman year. Definitely a high-level tournament. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting at that point in the season to see where we're at.
That's great.
How about you? How are the EWO doing?
The EWO. We are good. We've had two tournaments thus far. It's okay. We're figuring our stuff out.
Yes, this is the radio.
And it's different from past seasons. I can't speak to like every EWO experience, but this as a third round, like my third time on the team, I think this is going to be the most different season.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of have different systems. We have different strengths now, and we need to figure that out. And I think our chemistry with each other just has like a long way to go on offense. But that's okay, and that's like what practice works on. But we have our defense ethic and pretty locked down, pretty smart defensive players. So... I think it's gonna be okay. I think we're gonna work really hard, and hopefully things will turn out. We have a big meeting tomorrow to kind of talk about goals and hunker down, because like two tournaments a week, like 2 weeks apart from each other is really tough. And so now we have a good month of just kind of grinding ourselves, and before our Texas tournament, and so hopefully that'll go well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, tournaments are 2 weeks apart is tough.
It's tough.
Half of our team was hurt after the first tournament.
Oh, yeah.
But yesterday we practiced, and it seemed like everyone was sort of back. So
that's awesome.
Nice. We're back in full strength.
Yeah.
Right in time.
Yeah. Okay, so from here, Brunch, we can really talk about whatever you want.
Oh, great. We covered all the basics.
I often... talk about politics or things that are going on in the world. I don't know if you have feelings or things you want to get out to our 10 listeners. Mm-hmm. Let's refresh this and see. What would you like to talk about? Anything on your mind?
In terms of politics or in general?
Really anything.
Anything.
I'm really giving you free rein. Oh, man, we have 14 listeners.
Wow.
Look at that.
I just sent a little bump to our E-Men groups. And
nice.
Maybe some of them will tune in.
Yeah, maybe.
I've been thinking a lot about, not this isn't politics, but
yeah.
I'm thinking a lot about just life.
Okay.
And like,
here we go.
As I grow older.
Yeah.
What do I want my life to be defined by? Like, what do I want to do in my life? Right.
Okay.
Not like just career-wise, but like in general.
Yeah.
Because in college, you're very
building
constrained.
A life.
Yeah. In college, you're pretty constrained, right? Like, you have classes, and that sort of takes on your priority.
Yeah.
And then you join a few, you know, extracurricular clubs, and you
make
do those
things. Make some friends. And
but like, when you're like 40 years old, you have a job. You might have a family.
Right.
But then, like, what else do you do with your life? Right.
Right.
And it's interesting to sort of like think ahead like this. I think a lot about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it just comes to bite me in the butt because I just get very stressed about things that I can't really control right now.
Okay.
But one thing that I have really gotten to love is cooking.
Oh, man. Okay.
And
let's chat.
I think cooking is going to be something that I will do for the rest of my life. Started watching a lot of cooking shows.
Okay, like what?
Like cooking reality shows, like Gordon Ramsay shows.
And okay.
They're like pretty fake.
Okay.
But I mean, the cooking is real, but like everything around like
the fake. Drama and stuff.
But you learn from these shows like the sort of dishes that you should be able to make.
Right.
And so I've really started to test my skills in these dishes.
Okay.
For example, the other day I made a shrimp and grits dish.
Okay.
It's a staple of the South, right?
Yeah, it really is.
And it was like fine. I mean, shrimp are just like good as long as you don't like overcook them. And the grits are just like, okay, this is grits. Like,
yeah. If you put enough butter in them,
yeah,
they're edible.
Exactly. So I think it definitely is not something that I would serve. I think the benchmark for like something that I cook being good
mm-hmm.
is like if I had to go on a date right now and
mm-hmm.
cook something for my date,
okay.
Would I feel like comfortable enough, like confident enough in serving this dish?
Okay. Shrimp and grits is a no.
No, not yet.
No.
Probably never. Unless I'm down south. And,
okay.
You know,
and then you have to.
Exactly. I think there's certain things that I've gotten very good at, though. For example, this morning, which has got me all up, you know, I'm still sort of cooling down from this experience, but I roasted my third whole chicken of my life. So I've done three in the past, like, 3 weeks. And let me tell you, roasting a chicken is a great experience because not only do you have enough meat to last you for like a few days, if not a week.
A few days? You eat a chicken in a few days? No, you're right, a week. Week. Okay.
Yeah, like 3 to 5 days.
Okay.
After that, it's also just not like super fresh.
Right.
But a full chicken costs like
$6. Right.
So you get a lot for your, like,
yeah,
it's
you
like
get
$1 a pound. It's
yeah,
pretty
it's
incredible.
Pretty crazy.
Like the other day, I bought ground turkey to make some turkey meatballs, which is another dish I've recently perfected.
Yes.
I could tell you my secrets. So
okay.
I started getting to a point, I used to just follow recipes, but now I'm getting to a point where I can sort of take a recipe and make it my own.
Okay.
Which I'm getting very excited about.
Yeah.
But turkey is $5 for a pound.
Okay.
So when you do the cost like analysis, a full
it's
chicken
looking
is
like chicken is cheaper,
right.
Yeah.
But then you gotta sort of take into account time, right? You gotta take into account the time that you spend. And making a full chicken will take you some time. So, for example, this morning, I got up at 7 a.m. like I usually do.
Okay.
I immediately texted you because I was like, I need to be on Ask Molly today. Or chatting with Molly.
Yep.
Where do I go? But then I was like, all right, if I need to be there at 11:50, which is the time you gave me,
mm-hmm.
I need to have this chicken done by 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And that means it has to be in the oven at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So I was going to do homework before that,
mm-hmm.
after I made my breakfast.
Yeah.
I was doing this homework. It took me too long, and I actually didn't put the chicken in the oven until like 9:15.
Okay.
So right away, I was 15 minutes delayed, and I thought by some grace of God, some miracle, it would be done on time, that I could be here on time. And the thing is, I put the thermometer in it around 11:20.
Okay.
And I was like, it's going to be close. And most of the thermometer readings were good.
Okay.
And there were points where it was about 150. And you
right.
want chicken to be at 160.
Right.
And I was like, what do I do? Like, I can't, like, if I keep it
yeah.
in the oven for another 10 minutes, like, I'll just be late.
Yeah.
So I took it out, covered it with aluminum foil.
Okay.
Covered it with cloths and stuff to keep it really hot.
Okay.
And it was like, I'm going to let it sit here for 10 minutes before I slice it. and hopefully okay. it'll bring the temperature up to a point where I can just slice it and it'll be fine.
Right.
And so I then slice it at 11:30, right? I have to be here right. at 11:50. I have 20 yeah. minutes to do. And slicing a chicken, I don't know if you ever sliced a full roast chicken. They're hot.
I have. Oh, yeah.
They're very hot. So you like slice it, you're like, ah, hot. And
right.
you slice it, ah. And you right. keep doing that until it's sliced. And so I'm slicing it, I'm looking for the pink parts, and there's no pink parts. So
okay, that's great.
I think it cooked through. And then I like threw some of it in my mouth as I was slicing it,
and
washed
it was,
my hands,
scorching hot.
And like came here. And
okay.
basically ran from where I parked about like about like 400 meters. I'm going to talk in meters. 300 meters because
yeah, we're on the SI system.
Yeah. Well, because I run on a track and you can think of distances that way. Right. So like about 300 meters. I jogged it with my backpack and my coat on because it's like 15
you
degrees
did,
outside
indeed.
Today. Out of breath, but I'm here talking about my chicken experience.
There you are.
But I think a roast chicken is really, if you're getting a get together with like 5-6 people.
Yeah.
It's a really good dish.
It's a great
to make.
Dish. Yeah. yeah, for sure. And so affordable. So, yeah, speaking of cooking, cooking has always been like a pretty big passion of
sure.
mine. Food is like such a big deal in my family. I know I'm sure it is in every family, but I just really can't stress enough how much we talk about food and mm-hmm. care about food in my family. And so, cooking and holidays have always been like big family event, right? So, I get to college and I am like trying to figure out kind of how to cook on my own. Mm-hmm. And it's been a pretty good adventure. And I've always, okay, have you been to MagMuff?
I have been to MagMuff.
Okay, so for the viewers who don't know what MagMuff is, it's a delightful muffin and bagel breakfast place. It's like this tiny little storefront. There's like one table and it's always packed. And every time I go there, I tell my good friend Fernanda, because I'm always there with her for some reason, I say, I'm going to work here. Mm-hmm. I want to work here. I want to make bagels. Yeah. I want to make muffins. And it's just always been on this back of my mind that like I want to work in a bakery or just
yeah.
like maybe like a line chef, like really in it. But bagels have always been a bigger pursuit of mine. And I think of all the hobbies to have, cooking is probably the best hobby because you have to eat for 3 meals a day for the rest of your life. And so you might as well be good at it.
Exactly.
Right? And I think I've kind of been okay with giving up my dream of like working in a bakery because I can just do all the things I want to do, but for myself. Yeah. And so every Friday I've been baking some type of bread.
That's awesome.
I started off with a challah, pretty good. It was very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to a harvest loaf. And this week I'm going to try to do bagels.
Wow.
I bought everything I need. I'm going to make a little Asiago, poppy, and then my good friend Claire requested a garlic and spinach bagel. So I'm going to make a couple for her.
And sounds delicious.
Yeah. And then actually my good friend Caroline just texted me and I think we're going to make some focaccia bread on Friday as well.
Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of good bread making.
Bread is delicious.
Yeah.
I read a book this summer
mm-hmm.
By Michael Pollan.
Oh, so I love Michael Pollan.
He wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma, which
yes,
is a big
I
book.
Read The Omnivore's Dilemma.
This book was called Cooked. I don't know
okay.
if you read it.
No, but I've watched his mini-series.
Right. I know he has a series on cooking.
Yes.
But basically, he splits up cooking into four elements, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's water, earth, fire.
And air.
And air. And so he goes through this book. It's a long book, and I got really into reading this past summer, but for me, still seeing a long book gets a little bit intimidating. But and I had read Omnivore's Dilemma when I was going into my freshman year of high school for my regular bio
mm-hmm.
class, and I thought, I hope this is more exciting than The Omnivore's Dilemma, because for
okay.
me, reading The Omnivore's Dilemma back then was like a...
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah, it's a little bit dry.
But this book is pretty incredible. I definitely recommend it for anyone
mm-hmm.
out there. And sort of you talking about bread has reminded me about this, but he just kind of goes into, he like takes food and he makes it more than just food. He brings
right.
it into like culture and
right.
history.
And a lot of science.
Science, yeah.
yeah.
And so it was a really exciting read. And I think that also sort of inspired me to cook and eat more.
Yeah.
It also opened me to that whole fermented food.
Oh my gosh, he's so into fermented food. My brother has been really into fermenting things. And there's actually a way, it's called like salt-based pickling, mm-hmm. that he's been pickling a lot of things, but you don't use vinegar.
Right.
You use just really, really salty water, and that it like creates an environment for a certain bacteria that can then ferment, and that gives you a pickling taste.
Sure.
And he's been really into that, and so I think I want to do some pickling as well.
Yeah. It's definitely something that's like not that difficult to do. It's mostly like you put things in a jar and you wait.
Right.
And so
exactly.
You go with it. You know, so my family's Russian, and both my parents grew up in Russia, and when they were growing up in Russia, they didn't have the sort of luxury of going to the supermarket and just getting fresh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as a necessity, they had to pickle things.
Right.
And they had to, you know,
meats
save things for the winter.
All vegetables.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, so in Russia, they have something called dachas, which are like plots of land that you own sort of outside. Most people live near the cities, and they owned a dacha sort of a little bit outside the city.
Okay. Like a lot of people own dachas?
A lot of people own dachas.
Okay.
Like multiple, like not just like the upper class. Oh,
right.
So it varied. So the upper class that owned dachas is like a getaway house, kind of like a summer house almost.
Right.
For, you know, not upper class.
Right.
Because in Russia, there wasn't really much of a middle class. If not upper class, you would own just a plot of land with like a small little like shed/hut thing.
Got it.
And you would grow food in
right.
the summer. You know, the growing seasons. And every fall, you'd harvest it. And so a lot of potatoes, because potatoes can last for a while.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, I've actually seen this. My grandmother, who passed away this past year, she lived in Medny, which is a little village about 2 hours outside of Moscow, near a city called Tver.
Okay.
And she lived in this, you know, communist-style apartment building, which are very common across all of Russia. And she had an apartment, and they owned a dacha, which is about probably a five-minute walk from their apartment, because basically they had these apartment buildings that were all just surrounded by farmland. Pretty interesting. And so she would go to the dacha probably every day to tend for everything, and she also had a chicken coop thing, so she had chickens.
Wow.
And as a kid, I was like, the first time I visited her, I was probably 7 years old.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Like, I love going to tend to the chickens and
stuff. Farms are so fun for kids.
Exactly. And so I was like, this is incredible. Like, my grandmother would come visit us here, but like going to visit her there was a whole different story.
Yeah.
But anyways, she had another thing called the segrop, which is basically
segrop.
Exactly. It's like kind of like a shed in the ground. So
okay.
they would dig a hole
like
into the
cellar.
Ground. It's kind of like a cellar, exactly. It's a cellar. So they would dig a hole into the ground, put a big metal door on it, and lock it so that no one could get to their food.
Okay.
And over the winter, or like whenever they had something pickled or anything, they would put it in the segrop because it was naturally cold from being underground.
Yeah.
And it would last them through the winter. So you walk into my grandmother's segrop, and there's just like a hole full of potatoes.
Right.
And then like a wall of like pickled tomatoes and like, you know, pickles, cucumbers, and cabbage, and you know. And so, this brings about, the reason I'm going so into depth on this is it brings about a theory that my dad has proposed is about allergies.
Okay.
You know, if you go around today, everyone is allergic to something. Almost everyone's allergic to something. There's, you know, peanut allergies. There's dairy. Well, dairy, mostly. But anyways, you get the point. There's a lot of allergies. And he said when he was growing up in Russia, there was no such thing as allergies. There like nothing. Like people, you wouldn't hear of it. It didn't exist.
Right.
But now there are there, and there's also a lot here. And you think, why? I mean, I'm sure there's research on this, and there's an answer to it.
Yeah.
Why are there so many allergies all of a sudden in such a short period of time?
Yeah.
And my dad's theory is that when people used to eat things in season, it was healthier, and their body was able to go with it. But when you start eating things out of season, it creates these imbalances, which lead to allergies. So my dad's whole theory is that us eating food out of season is what leads us to have allergies.
That's interesting. I think
I don't know the science behind it.
I have a few thoughts on allergies as well. I think dairy allergies make a lot of sense to me because there are so many communities around the world that just weren't meant to, just never ate dairy. And with globalization and like Western Europe being the few type of people that can handle dairy, just globalizing and colonizing everywhere, bringing dairy places it never was, then all of a sudden people's bodies are like, whoa, I haven't eaten dairy since I was a baby breastfeeding.
Right.
And I think sometimes with gluten allergies, I think that in the past, people have just like had stomach aches a lot and didn't know that it was like, yeah, like 300 years ago, I think people still had gluten allergies, but they would just like get stomach aches when they ate bread, and it's like, oh, my stomach hurts. Like, must be the sun or the whatever.
Right. And I think 300 years ago, there were less products with gluten in them as well.
Yeah.
It's basically just bread or like beer.
And it's like more natural. It's like definitely more whole grains and maybe like not as processed.
Right.
So, exactly.
But the dairy thing is interesting in that book, Cooked, talks a little bit about that sort of imbalance across cultures, because one of the coolest things he brings up in the fermenting chapter, and this is something that has like changed the way I think about like human life. So humans take forever to evolve. Like,
right.
For us to grow like, you know, like a third hand arm.
Right. It's like billions
impossible.
Of years.
Like, it's
right.
like, yeah. Like, natural selection is very, very like slow developing for humans. However, we are made up of something like 90% microorganisms.
Right.
And microorganisms can evolve over a lot much quicker time.
Right.
And so there's this whole microbiome to your, you know, your digestive tract.
Right,
and
your
everything.
Gut.
Your gut, basically.
Yeah.
And it can evolve over time. So, for example, people who are vegetarians for a long time and then go back to eating meat.
Right.
And they have a lot of trouble with it.
Right.
Because
I know
their microbiome
something about
has
that. Yeah.
evolved to not really need to digest meat. And the same thing goes for dairy across long cultures and, you know, geographical areas where they don't have access to a certain food. Or they don't eat a certain food, they evolve a certain way. Their microbiome evolves a certain way that it doesn't need to handle it. And then when they start, you know, eating it, that's where, you know, a lot of these sort of things come about. It's a pretty cool thing to think about how you are evolving, even though you don't necessarily see it.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Okay, so we have a request from a listener to, on this vein, talk about curries. And I think I feel pretty passionate about curries. There's
like the curry, the food.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's like so many different, basically the curries I come into contact with are, I put into two categories, like Thai style curries, which are sometimes more broth based. And then there's like Indian style curries, which are more vegetable based. And the word curry actually just means spice blend.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, in India, like, I thought it was so interesting when you could get French fries and you could get regular and then you could get curry French fries, which just means with, like, paprika on it.
Right.
And it was, like, very interesting. And so I think curries are a good way. As a vegetarian, it's, like, a really nice way to throw in a bunch of vegetables together and not make like a rice stir fry, and have a little bit more sauce to it. I'm also a big sauce gal.
Yeah.
I would say I'd rather, like, I don't know if this is true, but say you like chicken more than turkey. I would rather turkey with a good sauce than like a good chicken with no sauce, because I value sauce. How do you feel about sauce?
I think sauce brings a dish together.
Yeah.
Right? What you said is definitely true. Like, I'd rather have some worse turkey with a very good sauce than like perfectly good chicken that's like just not covered, like just has like salt and pepper on it.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I'm with you.
Definitely. And in terms of curry, it's interesting. So I will eat almost anything. I'm not a very picky eater.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
I don't have any food allergies, so I will literally eat any. Actually, I do have food allergies, but.
Yeah.
I forgot about them. But I'll eat anything. And so one of the foods that I have not ever sort of grown to like is Indian food.
Okay.
And I don't know if
let's dive in.
I didn't eat a lot of it growing up.
Okay.
I think my family, when I was younger, was not as open to exploring different foods. You know, we ate like Chinese food and like we ate like the general, you know.
Yeah.
Common groups, but like Mexican food is not something that my family ate until I was like in high school.
Wow.
But now we love it. We eat it all the time. Same thing with Indian food. So my dad really likes spicy food.
Okay.
And I think he had Indian food on his own a few times, but then, you know, my family, my mom started to like it because my mom does not like spicy food, but she found out that some Indian food is not spicy.
Right.
She liked it. And I've never grown to like it. And I've tried it in many different like places, different restaurants. I've had it like real, like one of my very good friends from home was Indian, and for his graduation party, he had two. He had one for his family where like all his relatives from India flew in. He had another one for all his friends. It's actually pretty funny because his family Indian party, they rented out a Mormon church, which is down the street from them.
Okay.
And the Mormons were like, you can do whatever you want. The only thing is you can't have alcohol here. And they're like, that's fine. We weren't going to have alcohol.
Right.
So it works out. But we were in this Mormon church, and he invited, like, it was all his Indian, like, family and friends, and then, like, maybe, like, 10 of his, like, friends from high school.
Okay.
And so I was I was on the elite, the exclusive list of high school.
Of course.
And they had, like, real, like, Indian food, like, catered.
Yeah, like, home. Oh, okay. Like,
Some of it was homemade.
Right.
And then some of it was, like, catered from, like, a real, like, you know, Indian restaurant. And I was going down the line, and I was just like, this looks good. And then I tried and be like, I do not like this.
Okay.
And I did that. I don't think there was very few things at that big, like, buffet that they had that I liked.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to like everything.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I definitely have a different narrative.
It's interesting because most people do like Indian food a lot. I like everything else, but I shy away from Indian food.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
We ate a lot of Indian food growing up. We'd like get takeout, but my mom would also like make it a fair amount. I don't know. I think it's like very flavorful. It definitely has a certain flavor profile, and if you're not into it, then you're not gonna like any of it.
Right.
It's definitely very veggie based, which is cool. I don't know. What's your favorite type of cuisine?
That's a good question. I think, have you ever had Peruvian cuisine?
Yes.
Peruvian food is very good. It's not super common. Like, you gotta kind of go and find it.
Yeah.
But it's like a good mix of like a lot of different things because it's sort
like
of...
Like, are arepas Peruvian? Or those are Argentinian, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's all... Peruvian food's interesting because it's like a mix of a lot of different cultures.
Okay.
So there's sort of like the native, like there's a lot of corn and potatoes in it because that's just something that naturally grows in Peru and they have potatoes and everything. But it has like this influence from like, it has like an Asian influence to it. Due to some of the population, some of the like the migration that happened to Peru. And it also has, you know, that more general like, we have a caller?
We do have a caller. Okay. Caller, I'm just going to go ahead and put you on air. It's a 319 number, which means Iowa City. So... we're just going to go for it. Hello, caller. Are you with us?
Hello. Is this Molly?
This is Molly. Caller, do you want to announce who you are?
Hello, WMFO. My name's Akash. I'm a friend of Molly's from high school.
Wow. Thanks, Akash, for tuning in. Like I said, you're live on air. And what would you like to say?
Oh, I just heard a conversation about Indian food, and I've been waiting for, like, a good opportunity to call in.
Perfect.
So I figured this would be a good chance.
What are your thoughts on Indian food? Something.
Okay, so, growing up, eating Indian food my whole life, right?
Right.
And my mom, like, amazing cook, underrated how good of a cook she is, and you don't really appreciate your mom's cooking until you leave home.
Right.
So now, like, I'm working... I have an apartment, I have to cook my own food, and it's so much different. Like, you try to get the recipe from her, and you try to make it, and it's trash.
It's trash.
But what I've learned about making Indian food is, like, you know, like, curry is a general term, and, like, there's not one curry.
Right.
There is one curry, and, like, it's all the same, basically. Like, there's the same, like, base for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just add a little variation to different curries to make them varied.
Right.
So, like, I've lived with a few roommates from India, like, from India. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's all the same. Just saute some onions, you know, add some turmeric. So I guess what I'm saying is there is, like, one... base for curry, but I guess they do change it up a lot.
That's great. Yeah, we really needed that input.
Yeah,
I appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Akash. Do you want to tell us listeners a little bit about where you are and what you're doing? Because I personally know you're doing some pretty cool stuff right now.
Oh, sure. I'm at work right now. I stepped outside, but I tune in every 9 a.m.
Oh, man.
The WMFO. Yes.
True friend.
I'm one of the regular 14, I think. I don't know if you can track who they are.
We cannot, but I'll just pencil you in as a regular.
Great show. I'm just at work making, figuring out some issues. Oh, I work at I'm an intern at Tesla. I'm still in college, but I got to work here for a few months, and just like trying to figure out why some circuits are not working, the usual.
The usual. Well, I hope things at Tesla are going well, and you make sure those cars work.
Yeah.
So are you living out in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I'm in Palo Alto right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay, Akash, thanks for tuning in. And I hope you have a good rest of your day. It's morning for you, I guess.
Yeah, we just started here.
Yeah, and if people want to get in touch with Akash to talk more about Indian food, reach out to me and I can make that happen.
Thanks, Akash.
All right.
Thanks, Molly.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, that was Akash. We went to high school together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's the best. I got to see him for a bit over winter break, which was nice. Yeah, he's doing some pretty cool stuff. He, like, interned there over the summer, and then he was like, I just kind of want to stay here. So now he's, like, staying there.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Okay, so it is currently 12:45, which means I really screwed up the mic again. Which means I have to read a PSA or run it. Well, we've run a PSA a few times in the past, so I guess I'll read one today. Let's just open a random page. All right.
Can I background your PSA?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So this is Know Your Cell Phone Rights.
Know it.
Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights.
Know them.
The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone.
Warrant.
However, a phone without a passcode can readily be searched by anybody holding it, and a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So consider using a key code password and setting your phone screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation.
So set a passcode.
While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to. And if you do that, you forfeited your rights.
Don't unlock your phone for the police.
The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, no, officer, I do not consent to this search. Thank you.
No, officer, I do not consent to this search.
Finally, remember that police can always ask a judge for a search warrant, so think carefully about what's stored on your phone, including photos, contact, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Freedom Foundation on the web at EFF.org.
Dot org.
A police service message from the EFF and your freedom loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Well, thanks, EFF.
EFF.
I will make sure to take my phone security very seriously. Wow. Shout out to Akash for calling in. That's always fun.
You have any other callers out there that might want to call?
Yeah, people
encourage
you.
We're taking calls. The phone lines are open.
Yeah, lines are open and ready.
I listen to sports radio every morning, so if you have any thoughts on sports.
You listen to sports radio every morning.
This is also a good time to... yes, actually, I wake up to my Alexa speaker, which wakes me up at the time I tell it to wake me up at.
Okay.
And then I say, Alexa, stop. But sometimes she like doesn't hear me, or I say it too slowly, so she'll keep going. I go, Alexa, stop. And then she stops.
Okay.
And then I go, Alexa, go. I programmed it so that when I say go,
okay,
she will read the weather.
Okay.
Read my schedule.
Okay.
Turn on the lights
in
my room.
Your Google Cal.
My Google Cal schedule.
Okay.
Yes. Turn on the lights in my room.
Okay.
And then turn on 98.5, the sports hub.
Nice.
So I can listen to my sports
news. Recap.
Yes.
Do you have smart outlets then?
I do. So that's the way I did my lights. Okay. I bought some smart outlets and then you connect them to the app and whatever.
Yeah. My brother and his wife recently got an Alexa and a smart outlet. And they like it a lot. They have some fun with it.
It's pretty, you realize like how much you use it when you leave it alone. I mean, some people don't use it. I use it a decent amount. So like when I go home for like a break,
I want to turn the lights off
in my room, but she's not there.
Yeah. It's wow. That is like the thing that feels most like the future to me.
Exactly.
Like, you know, Smart House, that Disney movie.
Right.
It's really just like, yeah, it's like a personal attendant.
And the thing about it is that it's so like, it's, you know, you'd think it's like a, be like a luxury item, but it's so attainable. I think it's like, what, like $25 for like the smallest one?
Yeah. It's very attainable.
Yeah.
And it works as a pretty good speaker, right?
Exactly. So I have an Amazon Tap, which is, I don't know if they still make them, but it was one of the original like ones they came out with.
Yeah.
And, originally, it was one that you had to tap in order to talk to. You couldn't talk, you couldn't voice it, control it, but then they turned that setting on. But what you can do is it's portable, so it has a battery. So
that's like a Bluetooth
speaker as well. So for example, it's in my room, but then I want to go do cooking.
Right.
I could take it with me.
There you go.
And have it play music there.
Yeah.
And it's I would say it's probably louder than your like typical Bluetooth speaker. So
yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amazon, for your contribution.
Shout out to the company that rules the
exactly.
world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So have you thought about getting into baking at all, or are you really just like cooking?
Yeah, we were talking about baking. I was going to bring that up. I do not do a lot of baking.
Yeah.
I think part of it is that my house just does not have measuring cups.
Okay.
So it's very difficult.
Okay.
We have one. We have one that was left over from the last house, from the last tenants. The handle on it is broken.
Okay.
It's one cup.
Okay.
And so if I need a half cup of something, I eye it.
Okay.
I half cup it.
Okay.
But so it's very difficult to bake when you don't have the right materials for baking,
right?
Including like cookie sheets and baking dishes.
To be honest, what's better for baking than cup volumetric measuring is mass-based measuring. And I'm sure you guys have a scale in the house for other reasons.
No, we don't. No.
You don't have
I don't think so.
A little 100-gram scale?
I don't think we do.
Okay.
At least I haven't seen it. I understand what you're talking about.
Right.
I don't think we have one.
Okay.
But that's a good idea. So maybe I should ask around, see if I can get a scale.
Yeah. Because when baking bread, or really anything, flour packs very tight.
That's fair.
And so its density is so variable.
Spoken
and
like
so,
a true engineer.
Yeah, there you go. And so you really care about the mass more than the volume.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I have, what have I baked? I've made like brownies out of like brownie mix. But like that's, I think anyone can do that.
Yeah, I think like baking sweets is one thing, but I find baking bread is just, it's so magic. I think like with cooking, it's like, okay, I'm cutting up vegetables, put them in a pan. Maybe they get a little softer. Maybe they like crispy up. But really with baking, it's like, I have like an egg, right? And then I have like this flour consistency and water. And then I like do some stuff. I wait. I do some more stuff. And then you put it in the oven. And then all of a sudden, you have this magical thing that comes out.
Right.
And it's just like, it's so exciting.
Right.
I find the gratification is
much baking is very magic, right?
Yeah.
We were able to just take grass and make it into this like nutritious thing that's delicious.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think I've said this on the show a million times. So JC and Akash, people who listen, let me know if I'm being repetitive. But my favorite thing about bread, I actually learned from Michael Pollan. It's if you take flour and water separately and don't mix them and give it to a human to survive on, they can last like 8, maybe 10 days on it, right? If you mix them together and then let them sit for a bit and then give a human, they can survive on it for life. It can sustain life because all the organisms that wild yeast in the air, it flour is able to attain when you just let it sit there, has enough nutritional value to sustain life more so than just flour and water, which is crazy.
Right.
That is straight magic.
And then being like Michael Pollan's point again, the humans that we are, we took something that has nutritional value, it can sustain us, and in a in trying to get it to be as white as possible
in an American fashion.
Yes, we stripped it of all its nutritional value.
And then are like, oh, let's try to add it back in synthetically afterwards.
Exactly.
And it's like, now we have like vitamin D enriched white bread when you can just make regular bread.
Yeah. Definitely something. Maybe that's a summer thing I will do.
Yeah,
I'm starting to plan out the things I want to get involved in this summer, going on the theme of like, what am I going to do in my future?
I baked a lot this summer. I did bread, but I also was really into, like, I made a lot of cheesecake. Mm. I did a fair amount of, like, tarts, which are kind of difficult. And honestly, the biggest thing that inhibits baking is I don't have, like, a good mixer.
I see. And I don't, so, yeah, we don't have a mixer either.
Yeah. And we actually now don't even have a blender. So, because our blender broke. So that's sad.
I don't know if we have a whisk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. that's troublesome. Yeah, if you've ever been to Brunch's house, you would know that the kitchen is often in shambles, I would say.
It's like, it's sustained. We're fine.
Okay.
We know where things are.
Okay.
You know, we have pots and pans and plates and
I just,
knives.
I think every time I've been over, there's just been like pasta on the stove. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Like a pot of pasta that's like the remnants of someone eating their pasta.
Yeah, that's
which
good,
is fine,
good
you know.
Roommate, Connor. He makes two servings. He saves one for later, but oftentimes he doesn't eat the later one. Or he does. I don't know what he does.
Okay.
I usually fall asleep before he figures out what to do with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. One thing that I've been doing a lot of recently, I know we're getting towards the end of the show.
No, it's okay.
Instead
of
baking, is I have... I'm really into making soups.
Okay. That is something I am not into.
And by really into it, I've made soup once. But
okay.
I love soup. Okay. I've done it like a week ago. I made this like spicy, like Mexican inspired shrimp soup.
Okay.
And it was delicious, I would say.
Oh snap. That sounds great.
It was really good. And then I want to get into more soups.
Yeah.
Growing up I ate a lot of soup. My mom was really good at making soup. She would never and she would always make broth from scratch on her own. So she'd
like
buy the chicken.
Okay.
Yeah, she'd buy the chicken and make the broth as opposed to buying chicken broth.
Yeah.
So it was always very pure. And like when she like heard like when she saw people eating soup out of cans, she would get so upset.
Yeah. I'm sure.
So I really want to improve my making skills. Because you can make soup once and it can last you a week.
That's right? True.
It's a great
Or you can freeze sodium, it and it could like really last you any time.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the most healthy thing, but it's good to get the liquids in you, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't know. I've never been a huge soup gal.
Interesting.
My mom makes an amazing matzo ball soup that I always like on occasion. But then she actually makes so much soup, and I never quite like it. It's like, she'll make like a tomato soup that's just kind of like chunky, and I don't really like it. Uh-huh. Then she'll make this like kale bean soup that's like... very moderate, I'd say. Like, it's not bad, but it's not like my favorite thing. I don't know. I haven't quite found my soup groove.
How about chowders?
Chowders.
Like clam chowder?
Yeah, I like chowder. I mean, yeah, chowder's pretty good. Yeah. And I've had some good chowder out here.
There is some good chowder. How about some bisque? The lobster bisque.
Yeah, I like bisque. Yeah, I mean like a good creamy tomato,
sure.
I can get behind.
So you don't like too chunky.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm not into the chunks.
I see.
But it's funny, in other things I'm really like ice cream, love the chunks.
Yeah.
Right? All about the chunks.
What about like melted ice cream? Like that it turns into a
Yeah,
soup.
I'm kinda into that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm kinda into melted ice cream.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's 12:58. So technically, no one's actually after me, so we don't really have to go, but I do need to make some lunch and finish some homework.
That's fair.
So.
I have class at 1:30.
So do you have any last messages for our listeners?
Yeah, I want to do a shameless plug.
Okay.
If you haven't seen Ask Brunch yet, go check it out.
Go check it
Ask
out.
Ask Brunch on YouTube. You should be able to find it. I think I'm confused that it'll show up.
Okay.
If you have any questions for me specifically, you can email me at askbrunchnow@gmail.com. That's as you would spell it. Ask Brunch as you would spell breakfast for lunch, and now as you would spell now, N-O-W. askbrunchnow@gmail.com. I check it occasionally. If you email me, I could feature your question on my next Ask Brunch show, which will have special guest Nancy Kissinger on it. Famous Nancy. She
famous
has agreed
Nancy.
To be on the show with me. We have yet to schedule filming, but I will get it done by the end of the semester to finish season 3, which will have 2 videos.
There you go. I'd be down to come on a show
awesome.
To round out the
we could do that.
Collab.
Yeah, the collab. Yeah, yeah. We'll get chatting with Molly.
Okay.
I did take some video at the beginning part of this.
Okay,
so
yeah.
We'll feature that in the
good crosshatch.
In one of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Ask Brunch is really, you know, one of my greatest achievements. So check it out.
Check it out. All right. We're going to put some automation on And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. And I'll see you next week.
See ya.
This has been Chatting with Molly.
Featuring Ass Brunch.
Featuring Ass Brunch.